Davis, Marion, Washington, April 28, 1904. My dear sister Marion, we are all well. We reached here Sunday morning, April 24th. Since our arrival, we have had several days of cloudy, threatening weather, and we long for sunshine. Rain fell yesterday and today. This rain is a precious blessing, which the Lord is sending the country. Therefore, we will not wish it otherwise. The house in which we are living is out in the country, about 6 miles from the Capitol building. There are but few houses round us. The house is built on a high rise of ground and is a large three-story building. In the third story, Willie and Clarence have a bedroom each, and Clarence has an office room. On the second floor, I have a bedroom, and Sarah and Maggie have one. There is another bedroom on this floor, opening into the hall, and also into my room. There are also two small rooms on this floor, at the back, but they are hardly suitable for occupation. I feel thankful that you and May and her family are where you are. You are more comfortable than you could be here. Fruit and vegetables are very high priced. We are glad that you are all where you will be able to get these things without paying so much for them. I suppose that the strawberries and cherries and loganberries will soon be ripe. We have no cook. Sister Tuxford would be glad to come and help us, but so far Sarah has managed, with the help of others, to do the work. I have asked Willie when he thinks that we shall return to California, and he says that he thinks that we can go in 3 or 4 months. I wrote very little on the cars, but rested most of the time. I hope that while we are away, you will not confine yourself too closely to your work, but that you will take time to rest. I have been over the land that has been purchased in Tacoma Park for school and sanitarium purposes. This land is only a short distance from our house. It is very favorably located, and the stream running through it is a treasure that gold could not buy. The water from this creek is clear and pure. God's hand has been in the purchase of this land. It is in every way adapted for the purpose for which it will be used. Brother and Sister Paulson and Brother and Sister Reed are at present in Washington, attending a convention held by the Florence Crittenden Mission. This mission, as I suppose you know, is organized for the help and uplifting of abandoned women. Light has been given me that the outside churches will make special efforts for this class, but that we are to use our means and our talents of influence in proclaiming the truth that will keep people from becoming abandoned. If we will take up the work the Lord has given us to do, the truth will reach many of this class in various ways. But we are not to neglect the lines of work that the Lord has especially directed us to carry forward. All classes are to be reached. If those who labor for the abandoned and fallen would work in the fear of the Lord, striving to make those for whom they labor understand what is truth, many of these outcasts would be distinguished as children of God. But the idols of the heathen have been placed between heaven and earth, obscuring the view of God. The spirit of idolatry has entered the churches. The incense of true worship, which should have been offered to God, has been mingled with the worship of self. In the place of lifting their thoughts to God, in the place of learning to know Him better, men deny Him in their lives. Their attention is taken up with objects that conceal God from their view. Thus it is with the great majority of religionists. God calls for sincere heart worship. The door to light and an intelligent knowledge of the truth is open to every sincere worker for God. In order for worship to be acceptable, it must be offered in faith and hope, and the life must be in harmony with it. God requires the devotion of heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our noblest powers are to be used to do Him homage. Our thoughts are to be conformed to His will, our affections sanctified to His service. The heart is the seat of moral disease, and all our work for the uplifting of humanity must begin with the heart, which is to be cleansed, refined, purified. All medical missionary endeavor is to be cleansed from selfishness and the worship of self. Oh, I am so full of this subject that I cry unto God, raise up and send forth messengers filled with a sense of their responsibility. Messengers in whose hearts self-idolatry, which lies at the foundation of all sin, has been killed. The hearts of the workers need cleansing. There is a mass of evil doing which never comes to light, but it will be rebuked. That which does appear is the overflowing of man's devising, proceeding from ungodly hearts. He who is playing the game of life for the souls of men and women works through false science, introducing ideas which set minds thinking in spiritualistic lines.
Let us remember that our work in every line must bear the inspection of Him whose eyes behold and try the children of men. He understands the motives that we cannot fathom. It is our privilege to behold the life of our Lord and to be changed into the same image. It is our privilege to listen to His voice saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29, 30. To uplift fallen human beings, Christ descended to the lowest depths of humiliation. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Bearing our nature, He wrought out for us a character free from spot or stain of sin. In our behalf, He presented to God a sacrifice to which there can be no comparison. The riches of His gifts and the vastness of His design are beyond description. All the treasures of heaven are for the striving ones, but God will not spare the unrepentant. I call upon those who are lukewarm, neither one thing nor the other, to beware of standing in this position. Every day they are stumbling over their own faults of character. They feed on the gossip they hear, and Satan is careful to furnish them with false reports to circulate. Oh, that they would put away their evil practices! Oh, that they would show that repentance which needs not to be repented of, and would place themselves on Christ's side! God cannot endorse the work of those who claim to be Christ's disciples and yet strive to carry out their ambitious schemes. But He will impart light and the influence of the Holy Spirit to those who put self out of sight and give themselves to His service. As they throw their influence on the side of the truth, the Spirit of truth will work through them. By their efforts, others will be brought to a knowledge of the Savior.